encourage us with that word this evening, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We thank Thee, Father, we can take these requests before Thee, the omniscient, all-powerful, everlasting Father, and concerned about these things we've prayed for, the man, the people, the children, the wives, the women, all these needs. We ask Thee for the needs themselves, minister to them, and the people who requested them, the people who have need of these needs, minister to them. If they're not saved and born again and trusting Thee as Savior, the Lord Jesus, may that be the part, the first part of their lives. If they are trusting Thee, give them comfort in all these problems and sicknesses that they have. And guide us now as we open up Thy Word in this book of 2 Corinthians. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Well, we'll push all our buttons up here and turn our recording. Before we have our 2 Corinthians, we're very well favored to have my dear friend Solomon Joe, Pastor Solomon Joe from Liberia, West Africa. He had my wife and me come 2 times to Liberia, 1 time to Sierra Leone in Africa many, many years ago. Mm. We're glad to have him here visiting with us. He was here all day, had good fellowship with him. He'll stay overnight and go back to many other things for the United States. I've asked him to come and give a word of testimony. 3 to 5 minutes, whatever the Lord lays on your hand, Brother Joe, come up and give it to us. Pastor Solomon Joe from Liberia, West Africa.
Okay.
That's too high. I'll shut this right down. There we go.
Thank you, Dr. Witt. When he said, my friend, that's a humbling statement. I think he's guessing my son. Well, we consider ourselves his children since we found him in a waste paper basket.
I always said that.
We didn't know him and went to visit it made Liberia Baptist missionaries, and we found this bulletin in the waste paper basket. And we tried to take it. I was trying to catch on everything. He said, don't take that. He's very controversial. I said, I'm going to read this. And I did. That resulted in a conviction. We invited him twice in Liberia, once in a refugee camp. And today we have the Refuge Baptist Church you visited. I don't think you will be able to go there again anymore. But Refuge Baptist Church is in the heart of Monrovia, building a new structure. We are now meeting in the basement of that structure. But I am grateful that a group of men that I have worked with invited me to come to speak to them and to help them with their leadership and to get them firm on the path of biblical fundamentalism, which we pushed both in our radio messages and TV debate and think. And I came and was attacked again by my heart, and God has miraculously helped us to have attended the hospital first in Nazareth and transferred to Temple University Hospital. Well, they did a good job, and I can move around again. And that's what I told the other man. Well, maybe if they have failed, they will be waiting for you in heaven. And I'm grateful that I'm in Bible for Today Baptist Church again. It's a privilege for me to meet Dr. and Mrs. Witt. I call them our mother and father. And it has been a wonderful, wonderful time there. I kept shedding tears today. He and I were going with Mrs. Witt in Yekepa, and he would grab these two heavy, books-filled luggage, and he would run across that track. Now today I saw him walking, and he reducing to be baby again, our baby. And I'm just grateful that God brought me here, and I'm glad for work that has been done. And I said there are going to be thousands and thousands of people who have heard about Jesus Christ and biblical fundamentalism and the King James Bible who are taking their stand from him. Mm-hmm. And If he goes up into heaven before I come, let him tell Jesus I'm behind him. But I believe we are his product in that conviction. And we cannot regret. Sometimes he's controversial. He passed a controversial thing to us. And we cannot help but be controversial. And we thank God. And anyone who believes the Bible today, as God wanted it to be taught, will have problem. Yes. Christ told us that. He himself has problem. And so we should not be deterred. We should not be heartbroken or forsaken. He's there with us. And so I want to be grateful for that. I'm in your fine country. And I came to this country not only to teach, but to say thanks to the American people who in the 20th or in the 30s send their children, young men, young women, to the dark continent, yes. Africa.
Yes.
And as a result of their suffering and pain, I trusted Christ as Savior. Amen. And I promised them that I would teach the Bible the way they wanted it taught.
Amen.
And the trouble they have, they pass it on to me, and I gladly receive it for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm grateful to be here.
Amen.
And I'm glad to live for the food.
Yes.
And the fellowship.
Amen.
Don't say your friend. I'm your son.
Yeah.
Son, and now it's black son.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord. Lord bless you. There's how long ago came to visit us all the way over from Liberia. Other friends he has in this country. Praise God for you. All right, let's open our Bibles if we can to the book of 2 Corinthians. Thank you for that testimony, Pastor Joy. 2 Corinthians, we're in chapter 1, and let's back up to verse 21, 22, and 23. We had 22 last week, but just again, those are listening by the internet. Be sure to greet us and listen to us at 856-261-9018 or in your email, questions@bftbc.org. Glad to hear from you. Say hello to Pastor Joel. Greet him. All of you are listening to us on the internet. Appreciate that. Let's now all of us begin chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. Let's read verse number 22, 23, and 24 together. Who hath also sealed us and given us earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I will God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. All right, verse 22. Who hath sealed us? Hands up if you know the answer, but who's the who refer back to, and who are the us? Any hands on that? Any hands? Yeah, Tammy.
God the Father.
God the Father is the who, all right. And the us?
It's all
Corinth, then by application, those of us who are here. Who has sealed us? What does that mean? Any hands on that? Sealed us. God the Father sealed genuine Christians. What does that mean? Any hands on that? Yeah. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Sealed us for some fortune of salvation.
Okay, and
for our salvation.
Well, what does seal mean? What does that convey? Any hands on that?
Something like a mark of ownership.
Okay, and seal. A mark of ownership, and what else? Does that mean it's permanent or fluctuating?
You know, permanent. I think
permanent.
The Holy Spirit is our seal.
Is our seal. So,
it's permanent.
Permanent. Okay, that's good.
Verse 22.
Verse 22. 1 Corinthians 1:22. Seals. And what has the other part of that verse 22 said? By the way, questions. At bftbc.org or 856-261-9018 if it's a call or comment. Now, in the last part of 2 Corinthians 1:22, what else has God the Father done for genuine Christians? Any hands on that?
He has given us the earnest.
Well, what does earnest mean?
The earnest is that of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, and what does earnest mean?
Down payment.
That could be it, Tammy.
Yeah.
Tammy?
Well, like earnest money, when you buy a house,
You have to put money down in order to show that you're earnest or genuine and you're desired by the
All right. So that's the down payment, the first payment. And what is the down payment? What is the earnest that he has given us, the last part of verse 22? Any hands on that? Pastor Joe.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. And everyone has the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit in our hearts. Our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Speaking of the us,
which means the genuine Christians. Only genuine Christians have the earnest of the Spirit. So go back to that us, referring only to genuine Christians. All right, questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. And then in verse number 23, Paul calls them for a record. What does that mean, a record? Any hands on that? Call them for a record. Any hands on that? If Pastor Joe?
Witness.
Could be a witness. What else might that be? Any hands on that? A record. If Pastor Dan?
Well, when you have a record of something, you write it down in a book, or you write it down in a computer log, you do something to record it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a record. And it can be the idea of a witness that comes back as a witness.
All right.
Of something.
All right. And he said, a record upon my soul. What would that mean? A record upon my soul. God for a record upon my soul.
God for the record. God could be the witness. God's the genuine and true record. I mean, other people can give some type of...
All right.
Earthly witness.
All right, the Pastor Joel.
Yes, the purpose of which he did not come.
Okay.
It's known by God himself.
Okay. That last part of this verse says he did not come unto Corinth, and that verse also says not yet. Mm-hmm. Well, later on in the next verse, we'll see why. But before we get to that verse, why did Paul not come yet to Corinth? Mm-hmm. Any hands on that? Why did that come in, Tammy?
He wanted to spare them grief.
All right, he wanted to spare them grief. What did he find in 1 Corinthians in that church that was very, very bad? Any hands on that? Pastor Dan?
Things are all mixed up, upside down, and backwards as far as doctrinal behavior.
Pastor Joe?
Doctrinal beliefs.
Very bad. Pastor Joe? All right, yes, go ahead. Barbara Levaster from North Church.
Hi, Pastor Wade. Before we get too far down the road, I'd like to read something about the earnest.
All right.
From Ephesians.
Okay.
That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Amen. Thank you very much. That's wave to your to Barbara Master here in North Jersey. Thank you very much, Barbara.
South Jersey.
Pardon me, South Jersey. Okay.
Yeah, she's not too far away.
Over here. No. Yes, Pastor Joel.
Yes, I thank God for that verse too, because in the Ephesians account he connected the seal. The earnest to that of the purchase redemption, the whole totality of redemption.
Whole totality of redemption, sealed, that whole seal. That's very good. So notice there in verse number 23, God's a record by my soul. Why did he not come again to Corinth? And he answered that. At that time. Why did he not come? Any hands on that? Tammy?
I'll repeat what I said.
Okay.
Just spare them the grief.
Okay, spread the grief, because he had lots of problems at Corinth through there, and didn't want to come, rustling up again, harming them and giving them grief again. Was he very strong when he came to 1 Corinthians against what they were doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Pastor Dan, yes.
He was.
He was.
Very strong and upset many of them,
But he told it like it was. These people are out of sorts. I said, I'm this, and it's Tammy.
Was he more strong in his letters than he was in person, though?
I don't know whether it's strong letters, but...
That's what he said.
Yeah, it's love.
Yes,
but probably this
prayer... He said that his words are witty,
his words
but his body appearing is weak.
His appearing body was weak, but his words are very strong.
That's right.
I suppose even when he was there, he was very firm and probably told them what it was. But his letter, 1 Corinthians, is very strong. So he's not going to come yet to anyone. He wants to spare them any grief at all. Didn't come yet. And then in verse number 24.
I don't get that verse.
Okay. Someone clarify that verse. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Anybody have a hand on that to clarify that verse? My wife does not yet understand that verse. The hands have clarification.
Well, dominion has the idea of having control of something.
No,
she's
talking about verse
23. Verse 23.
Okay, so remember all the events that were happening in chapter 1, pardon me, 1 Corinthians, all the problems the church was having?
I don't remember that exactly.
And in chapter 5, the immorality that was going on,
yeah,
and other things were happening. And so he's delaying his coming to visit Corinth because...
Until they cleared up the
matter. Because if he comes too quickly, too soon, then he's going to have to lash out at them. He's going to have to correct them.
Yeah.
He's going to have to forcefully discipline and rebuke them. And so he's deliberately delaying his coming.
Okay.
So that doesn't... He's restraining himself from having to rebuke them in person.
Okay.
Hopefully that they correct themselves.
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Go ahead, speak up.
I guess, Pastor Lee, this is Rebecca Howell.
Yeah, Rebecca Howell from South Carolina. Yes, Rebecca,
yeah,
right ahead.
And I just wanted to give some explanation for verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, it's an explanation in part, perhaps, of why Paul didn't come in person to Corinth, what he says in verse 23. So being that he wanted to avoid kind of lording over the or having captive wailing upon them, and so perhaps he's just trying to reiterate that he's there to be an assistance, and when the rubber hits the road, you're going to have to stand on your own feet, and so he's saying that for my faith he stands, and so maybe through discernment the Lord put on him to not come again at that time. So.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. Pray for Rebecca Howell and her husband in South Carolina. Let's wait to. That's good. Thank you very much. We're glad to see them. Very glad to surprise us in North Carolina. They came to see us and visit us. David and Rebecca Howe. Appreciate that very much. Yes, so that's a good explanation, Rebecca. Thank you very much. Anything other comments on verse 24? Not the dominion of your faith, but are helpers of joy. Should joy be in the genuine Christian's life and heart.
Absolutely.
It definitely should be. Even in the midst of problems and difficulties, the Lord can give us joy. Mm. In the midst of all of it, so we want joy. For the by faith ye stand. Now what does it mean to stand? Do all the people in this world stand as they ought to stand, genuine Christians? Do they all stand where they should stand? Do some not stand too strong? Any hands on that? Fine, then Pastor Dan.
I think it's Ephesians, but it says, therefore stand.
Yes, Ephesians 6.
Do this and that, and then stand. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest part, is standing and maintaining the sameness.
Yes, Pastor Dan?
Some do and some don't.
Some do and some don't. Yes, Pastor Joy.
You seem to attach the faith we stand as a purpose for the delaying, so that they will be able to, as he helped them, they will look to Christ as the source of strength, as the source of conviction, rather than the human being walking behind them. I think this is what I'm saying. I think because we stand by faith.
By faith, yes.
So that when we are alone, Somebody is following me.
Yes.
It is Christ and I.
Yes.
And so I live by Him. Right. I don't do certain things not because people are seeing me.
Yes.
But because Christ is going to be glorified in me and through me.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Joy. Yes, Rob Winograd from Chicago. Go ahead, Rob. Chicago. Thank you, Rob. Praise the Lord for that.
Are you coming to Michigan, Paul?
Yes. My wife asked if we're going to be able to come to Michigan this year. We don't know. He's very busy, I know, with his pools, so he can't get pooled back and forth, and so on. All right. So by faith you are sealed, by faith we stand. And one of the things we had in North Carolina was a church called the Foundations Bible Church and College, and they have a ministry there, and the subject this last conference over there, we spoke twice there, different other speakers, was a conference on the remnant. Very, very few that have a strong faith and don't give up on the fundamentals of the faith, very, very few are just a remnant. So decided that that's what God has. And Pastor Joe there in South, in Liberia, West Africa, a remnant, strong. He doesn't mind controversy, whatever, but strong. Yes. Just a few left of us. Mm-hmm. A lot of people falling away. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Spence is the one that had that conference, and we praise God for it. All right, let's read verse chapter 2, verses 1, 2. Any other comments to chapter 1 before we go on to chapter 2? All right, let's read chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3 together. But I determined this with myself, that I should not come again to you in heaviness. Verse 2, together. For if I make you sorry, who is he that then to make me glad? For the same which is made sorry by me. And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow, even from those whom I ought to rejoice, have a confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. My first number one. What did Paul say about his attitude in verse number 1? What was his attitude of heart and mind? And he hands on that Tammy and then Pastor Dan.
He wasn't going to come to them again. He determined this unless if he was grieving over their sin.
Okay, Pastor Dan.
You know, basically, he wasn't going to come in heaviness.
Right, and the attitude he had in mind was what? Any hands on that?
I won't come like that again.
Rejoicing. He wants to
well, that's
rejoicing.
True, but first of all, he's determined. Now, what does determined mean? Any hands on that? Dan?
Steadfast.
Definite. Mm-hmm. Definite.
Resolve.
When somebody resolves a definite, they just want to do something very strong. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Now, what was he determined about? Who was he determined by? With who was he determined?
With himself.
With who? And it has that, if I?
So with himself.
With himself. Right, his own soul. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes we're determined by others and with others, sometimes just ourselves. So that we're all by ourselves there, all the rest of them going one way,
We got to be determined to go God's way. Always God's way. I determined with myself that what should not happen. Any hands on that?
He will not come again.
Pastor Joel, go ahead.
He will not come again.
How?
In happiness.
What do you think that would mean, Pastor Joel? Not coming
again. Grief, is it?
Grief, probably grief. And have it,
he probably was very depressed.
Maybe he's depressed.
He said, I won't come again that
way. Depressed? Any other hands or questions? Tammy?
No, it relates back to the previous verses.
All right.
Where he's talking about sparing them because he didn't want to come to them if he's going to be discouraged about their sins,
yes,
and mourning and grieving.
Yes, but when they had to be reproved for their sins, he was honest about it. He was faithful to the Lord. I'm sure some didn't like it, but he didn't want to continue to do that. Hope they'd get better on their own. Not in heaviness. Then in verse number 2, what does the if clause here mean? Any hands on that? What does the if clause mean? Any hands on that?
The possibility of.
Okay, the if clause. If I make you sorry, see, what does that imply? Any hands on that? What does that imply?
A rebuke.
Yeah, Tammy, and then.
Mm-hmm. Just what Pastor Joy said. He's
going to
rebuke them.
I said, rebuke of sin.
Yeah.
Often result.
Yes.
In sorrow.
In sorrow. Yes.
People may not like it.
Not like it. If I.
Well, for if I make you sorry, who is he that makes me glad? So if he comes to them, all sorry and depressed, he will make them the same way.
Yes.
And so nobody said, making him. There'll be nobody left to help. Make me better.
Make him better, give him joy, and be glad.
Help me be happy.
And the last part of verse number 2, what do you think that adds to this whole argument? The last part of verse 2, any hands on that one?
You mean, but the same which is made sorry?
Yes.
By me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means.
Anybody have a hand at 10?
Well, those just the same. Those are the people that he's going to make sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're the same ones that will make him glad if they do what's right.
All right. If he makes them sorry, then they can't make you glad. Vaughn?
If they're so sorry, they don't have anything happy to pass on to them.
To pass on to the apostle.
Then it makes him sorry.
Makes him sorry as well.
One
absolutely.
Makes one sorry, one makes the other sorry, and then they're all sorry.
Yes. Then in verse number 3.
Just a minute.
Oh, yes, Pastor Al.
I was just thinking.
Yes.
I'm looking at it that we do not want to go overboard. That when they, like he rebuked them in chapter 5 of 1 mm-hmm. Corinthians and the rest of it.
Yes.
And that resulted in a sorrow. That we do not want to make the text to say that the rebuker is is regretting for their sorrow.
Yes, regretting the sorrow.
Sorry, yeah. The sorrow was necessary.
Necessary, that's right.
He has reason to make them to sorry.
Yes.
So what he is saying now, we need to look at that. Is he regretting that he made them sorry?
Mm-hmm. But he needs to because he needs to be repenting of this wickedness.
Okay, yeah, that's right. That's what I'm looking
yes,
at.
Very good.
Isn't this, in verse 2, isn't this referring to if he actually was there physically with them? Mm-hmm. And he said he determined that he wasn't going to come to them
mm-hmm.
in heaviness. It goes back to, that he wanted to spare them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he wasn't going to come to them and have that sort of everyone sorrowing together.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not very good fellowship when everyone's sorrowing together.
Right.
As opposed to rejoicing in what the Lord had done.
Right. And as it says in verse 2, if I make you sorry, who then's going to make me glad? This goes there, a bunch of sorrowful people, and he goes there, and no happiness, no gladness. And so the same with his Mitzvah by me. He wants to make very, very good friends and happiness and not sorrow. Then in verse 3, he wrote, he says the same unto you.
Jacob Romer or Jacob
Diaz. Okay, let's see the Jacob learned. Yes, it's Jacob and Diaz Romer in Texas. Go ahead, Jacob.
Hey, Mr. Wade, hello, everybody.
Yep.
Hey, Pastor Tua.
Yes.
I'm from a far country, too. They call the Republic of Texas.
Texas.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to read this, Pastor Wade, if you let me.
Go ahead.
2 Corinthians 7, 8 through 10.
Yes.
For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle has made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to repentance.
Yes. Wave to Jacob and Dave over there in Texas. Thank you very much, Jacob. Now, someone call while he was talking. Call back again. They weren't able to get to you. Call back again and give your comments. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Very important, is it not? That not to be sorry by them. And then he says, also in verse number 3, I wrote the same unto you when I come, that I came, shall I have sorrow from those whom I ought to rejoice, of whom I ought to rejoice, and having confidence in you all, my joy is the joy of you all. So, what was Paul's desire for these genuine Christians at Corinth in this verse number 3? Any hands on that? What was his desire?
Help. Help.
Yes, Brother David Howell and Rebecca from South Carolina. Go right ahead.
Hey, Pastor Wade.
David.
I wanted to say greetings to the pastors there from Liberia.
Yes.
And I also wanted to make comment on, if I may, on Paul and talking to
South Carolina. I appreciate that very much. They came here one time on a Thursday evening, and then from then on, they've been calling in, every Thursday, from South Carolina. And in North Carolina, they came to visit us as well. I saw them again, Rebecca and Dave. And then no members did. My son's named David, so I used to call him a song of the name, but I got it back to David. Thank you very much, David. Appreciate that. All right, so that's verse 1, 2, and 3. Yvonne?
Sounds like Paul doesn't want to say anything that's not kind and that's out of order.
All right.
Because if he does, then he will make the people sorry, and then he'll be sorry because he made them sorry.
He'll be sorry because he made them sorry. All right, let's read verse 4, 5, and 6 together. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So in verse 4, what was Paul's attitude as he was writing this letter? Any hands on that?
Well,
What was his attitude, the first part of verse 4? Yes, Pastor Joe.
Yes, I see. what Paul is doing is just what any pastor would do. You teach these people that anyone who sin need to be disciplined.
Yes.
They did to the discipline.
Mm-hmm.
But the men have repented from what we are seeing in the context.
Uh-huh.
The men are it's sorry, but they still hold him there.
Mm.
Now, to come here and say, get the man back. Well, a proper attitude and preparation will offend the good ones.
Yes.
And then it will make weak those who are already about to slap back. So he coming between them, look, I love you.
Yes.
And when I said to you that this person need to be disciplined, this is what God wants.
Yes.
Now, removing him is just as God's will and joy. So, the joy he wants to instill is a joy that comes with the obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Not just by doing traditional things, but obeying actually what God wants.
Yes. How do you deal with your people in your church, Pastor Joe? Back in Liberia, that are sliding away and not right now. How do you handle it?
Well, first we keep teaching and then discipline.
Yes.
And then those who repent, we restore them.
Yes.
Now, with this experience, this is why I think this is a good picture or a story for the local church.
Yes.
Because the local church has the division, the category of people, those who are soft.
Yes.
Oh, let us be patient. Let us be patient. And for some, they look at the patient as compromise.
Mm.
And the other guys on the far right, they want to sweep everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Or and that may have been disciplined, and within 3 weeks or so, he repent. They said, no, let him stay there. Let him stay on that discipline until 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but when the man repents,
yes.
Then he got to be restored. Yes. And, you know, this is where I'm seeing it. So that the pastor needs to understand what the Word of God is and apply the Word of God without tradition.
Yes.
That's what I do.
Amen. Amen. That's good. So in verse number 3, to spare you when I come as a sorrow. And then verse number 4, much affliction, anguish of heart around unto you, many tears. So was Paul happy to write very strong things to these Corinthians? In Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, was he proud? Was it easy to do? Was it simple to do this in a hand like that?
Not simple.
No, not simple.
Not simple.
Many tears were sorrow, but he was faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He did it. They needed restoration, and if nobody told them, they'd just go on and on and on.
Yes.
But there was sorrow, as it says, affliction, anguish of heart, I wrote to you. Many tears.
Yes.
That you should be grieved. Not that you should be grieved, but what did you want to tell them out of all of this? Not grieving, what? In the hands of them. What did you want them to know about Paul? Pastor Dan?
You may know the love.
The love.
The love.
You see,
it's a principle for the discipline.
Yes. Remember it says about the Lord. Whom he loveth, he chasteth, and scourgeth every son, that we may behave and love him sincerely and strongly, faithful. And so Paul, with many tears, that he should not be grieved, but know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Sometimes it's love that helps. For instance, when our little children, we've had in our family 3 sons and 1 daughter. And I remember son number 3, a little son Dick, little Ritchie, he was only about 2, and had to spank him for certain things. I got pictures of him with tears in his eyes. I told Dickie, I called him Dickie that all the time, Richard Dickie. He said, Dick, why did Dad spank you? With tears he said, because he loves me. He got the point. He loves him. He disciplines him so that he might grow up to be a man and a strong, and he has become a strong man, preacher. And it's love that it causes us many times to want to correct and bring up to joy. So that with the joy that might be with all, he wrote, more abundantly unto you, the love that I have towards you. Yes, that, well, pass it down. Pass it down, so the way.
Coming in here from the Roberts. Sending warm greetings to you and all of the BFT Church family. Thank you very much for tonight's Bible study. We are also grateful for the visiting pastor from Liberia. It was such a tremendous blessing to our hearts to hear this, his testimony. Our Lord and Savior bless his time here in the U.S. and grant him a safe journey when he returns home.
Amen.
In his love, Carl and Vicky.
That's way of Carl and Vicky. It's in Massachusetts.
No, Maine.
In Maine, state of Maine. Way up in the state of Maine. Mm-hmm. So we reach out, Pastor Joy.
Amen.
As you know, praise the Lord for Pastor Dan's skill with his internet, reaching out all these other people, calling and they're watching and seeing and looking and listening to your testimony. Praise the Lord for it.
Yeah.
So that's that verse there, out of much affliction, I am love where you have loved me. So 3 and verse 4, do we read 5 it? Oh, yes.
5 and 6.
What was that? Did we read? We finished?
We read 5 and 6.
5, okay, we didn't read, we didn't have enough.
I don't think we talked about 5 or 6.
Yeah, we stopped at 6.
We didn't comment on number 5, did we?
Yeah, that's good.
What is Paul's if clause here, and what does he mean? What is the if clause, and what does he mean? Any hands on that? What does he mean with this if? Yes, better than.
He's talking about the grief.
All right. If I have grieved you, what do you say? Do not grieve me, but hath not grieved me, but in part, that I might not overcharge you. What does it mean to overcharge? Any hands on that? Overcharge.
Huh.
Yes, Pastor Joel, and then Tammy.
To overload, to overburden.
All right.
Or cause to be submerged.
Heavy load. Yeah, Tammy?
Be overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed, something like that. Not too much. Mm-hmm. A little bit, just what they need, but not overwhelmed. So not overboard, be very careful. Mm-hmm. Just not overboard, overcharge. Not overcharge you in any way. Then we read 6, did we not?
Yes.
Now, in verse number 6, what was sufficient in verse number 6 as far as Paul is concerned? Any hands on that?
It's a punishment.
What is it?
It's punishment.
It's a punishment.
Punishment. Punishment, which one? Which was inflicted of many. Many people were dissatisfied at the church at Corinth as well. And they were, the punishment that was inflicted by some of these other, they didn't like what was going on, so some of the Christians there at Corinth also told them about. All right, question.
Can I just?
Yes, go ahead, Pastor Joel.
I like the word many.
Hmm.
For the situation in which the 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians were written to the church at Corinth.
Hmm.
And then in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians,
mm-hmm.
he instructed the church to discipline this man.
Yes.
Put him out.
Put him out.
And then we're up to in verse 13. Rejoice those that are within.
Mm-hmm.
And then came the idea that the discipline in the church should not be done by elders,
mm-hmm.
but by the whole church.
The whole church.
The fact he said many.
Many, that's right.
Not just one man.
Not just one man, but many in the church. Genuine Christian.
Genuine Christian.
Yes. Any other comments on that verse from anyone? Any hands on that? All right, go ahead, Dan.
In that particular case, the person that sinned, it was known what.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Dan.
Sorry, get the phone call.
You sure? Yes, go ahead. Hello.
Hi, yes, Pastor Wade. This is Rebecca Helms, South Carolina. Just another scripture to help kind of round out the discussion. At the end of the letter, in the 10th verse of 13, it says, therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification,
yes.
And not to destruction. So yes. I think that scripture is very helpful with the context and Paul. getting in the flesh, perhaps using sharpness that's not of the Lord, but more of himself in his deal. So that's all. I just wanted to add to that.
Yes. Thank you, Rebecca. Let's call Rebecca again. Let's wave Rebecca again, South Carolina. Appreciate it. Very good comments. Praise the Lord.
Tammy was in the middle of talking.
Well, that's all right. She's going to finish. I'll wait. You go, Tam. Tammy, anything else about that?
Well, I was just getting started.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking about the actual situation. Was the man that was in an incestuous relationship. And the church couldn't partake in the discipline unless they knew what was actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they were actually aware of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it wasn't just a rumor. It was something that was confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
It was certain. You know, I don't know. That was all that I really wanted to say, is it can't be inflicted. I mean, correct punishment unless you actually know the facts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to start with this verse for today. Lord willing, next week, Pastor Dan will continue verse 7 and begin from there. But do you have any of the comments on this first part of this chapter 2 tonight before we close? Well, if not, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that we can study Thy words together. We thank you for Pastor Joel's testimony, Lottie's here, many good comments. We thank you for those good comments from people all around this country, different states, calling in, telling about the words of the Heavenly Father. We guide them and direct them, Lord. Bless their ministry. Help our church to stand fast and firm for the faith. Help Pastor Joel as well. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's go ahead. That's one more thing. Absolutely. Oh my. Too late.